Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name is Jack Lawrence, the host and creator of this show. Today, we're going to take a peek behind the curtain of the jury system with the help of a new TV show. A jury trial, or trial by jury, is a legal proceeding in which a jury makes a decision of findings of fact. It is distinguished from a bench trial in which a judge or panel of judges makes all decisions. Jury trials are used in a significant share of serious criminal cases in many but not all common law judicial systems. The majority of common law jurisdictions in Asia, such as Singapore, India, Pakistan, and Malaysia, have actually abolished jury trials on the grounds that juries are susceptible to bias. Juries or lay judges have also been incorporated into the legal system of many civil law countries for criminal cases. Only the United States makes routine use of jury trials in a wide variety of non-criminal cases. As you will well and truly know by now, one of my biggest dislikes of the justice system is that of the jury. A system that places the ultimate decision of guilt or innocence in the hands of, essentially, you and I. 12 complete strangers will be placed in a room together with little to no knowledge of the law, trying to come to an agreement and tasked with a life-altering decision.
We, the jury, in the above-entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second-degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty.
On verdict form C, as to the count one, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyler Hughes, guilty of voluntary
manslaughter. The jury in this case find the defendant not guilty.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
The biggest question with a case involving a jury is, what exactly is going on behind closed doors? What are the discussions taking place? Who are the big personalities, and are they swaying people to their way of thinking? In most cases around the world, this has been a mystery. Until now.
You can tell that this woman needed help. And, like, you are happy to just make out that she was this violent, horrible, da-da-da, but no, it's getting on my bloody nerves.
One TV show in the UK has sought to try and uncover this mystery with a fascinating experiment. Now, I first heard about this show, which is aired on Channel 4 in the UK, called The Jury Murder Trial. In our very own Facebook group, a couple of OMR jurors, who obviously know my dislike of the jury system, posted about it and told me I should watch it. Well, I'm so glad they did. The premise of the show is simple. A real-life murder trial is restaged in front of not one, but two juries of ordinary people. The twist, neither jury knows the other one exists. The question is, will they come to the same verdict?
I'm sorry, I don't see him as someone that's a nasty, controlling animal.
A real-life murder trial is being restaged with actors in front of two juries who are both unaware of each other.
The defendant does not deny that he unlawfully killed his wife. He is therefore saying, well, I accept that I'm guilty of manslaughter, but I dispute that I'm guilty of murder.
I was, of course, instantly hooked and fascinated from start to finish. So much so that I tracked down one of the show's creators, Ed Kelly, and invited him on the show to talk about it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mr. Kelly, well, look, welcome, first of all. Thank you so much indeed for your time. Can I just say congratulations on the early success of the show, obviously in the UK. What a brilliant idea. So congratulations, mate. Fantastic show.
Thank you so much. We're completely over the moon. We've been developing this idea for 3.5 years, so I'm very glad it's worked out.
It would be slightly crushing. I mean, look, I have been known in the past to create a show that absolutely shit the bed. So, you know, I know the pain of doing something and spending a long time on it and then it not working. So thank God it worked for you. But I think, look, there was never any doubt that this would work because it's a fascinating concept. It's something the people who listen to my show know that I have frustrations around the jury system. So how did this show sort of for you come about? Where did this idea first spark from?
So strangely, it didn't actually spark from looking at trials or the legal system. It was 2020 lockdown here in the UK, probably similar time with you guys. Black Lives Matter movement was sort of spreading across the world. And we were thinking about personal biases and unconscious biases with my head of development, Harry Smith. The company was like two of us at the time. It was totally shrunk down. And we kind of asked the question, where's that going to play out in the most televisual and dramatic way possible? And came up with the answer that clearly in a jury room. And we thought, could we do this in a real case? I jumped on a call to a lawyer, half expecting him to go, you're mental, there's no way you could do that. But we sort of worked out a way that we actually could, which was really exciting. And we realized that it needed, well, we wanted it to be bigger than just testing an individual case.
Yeah.
We wanted to look at the system. And in fact, that is the sort of public interest, if you like, the sort of purpose behind it. So we found we did some research and because of the secrecy, it's probably the same in Australia, but in the UK, it's illegal for judges, academics, never mind media, to talk to jurors about their verdict after the case, which means that nobody can ever do any research about the fairness. And if there is a kind of perverse decision, no one can ever challenge it either.
No.
It's just like tough.
Yeah, mate. That's it. The jury has spoken, so to speak, and that's it.
Completely. But we found this startling statistic that before that law came in 1981, there were what's called shadow jury experiments that were carried out where they would have a second jury sort of shadowing the real jury in a court. And in those days, they could talk to the jurors whilst they were deliberating. And they found that those two juries would disagree approximately 25% of the time. And when you think there are 8,000 in the UK, there are 8,000 trials every single month. That is like 2,000 questionable verdicts a month right there. And we thought, blimey, this is actually a big issue. So how do we do it? And you know, I don't mind saying the original concept was as it would be, single jury in a trial. But of course, the problem there is, are you really comparing like for like if you're really kind of homing in on the fairness of the jury? So we with the channel are very collaborative. The commissioning editors are kind of proper program maker. And so we discussed the idea of having two juries or even more. I mean, at one point it went up to like seven, which would have been mind-blowing.
Wow. that would have been something to witness, that's for sure. My God. Christ, the edit for that would have been insane.
yeah, exactly. Imagine that would be how many characters? 7 12s, 84 characters. I mean, it would have been horrific.
Yeah. You talk about the characters, and that's essentially what it boils down to. You know, you have these characters in this room, you have these big personalities, and that's the fascinating thing about this, is because it's what I always say about juries, because obviously I deal with the American system. You've got 12 people in a room who don't want to be there, let's be honest, most of the time. There'll be some people that would find it interesting and would be into it, but other people, they've got lives, they've got jobs. You know, in most cases, I don't know what the UK is like, but here in Australia, the pay is below minimum wage. It's shocking. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a job. You know, you're asking people to do a job and be away from their jobs and away from their lives. And they get to a point where if they're at loggerheads where they can't come to a decision, you know, there could be a hung jury, but then they're sent back and said, well, we don't really want that, because then we're going to have to go through the whole process again, and that's more money and more time. So, guys, you really need to make a decision. So, of course, people are just going to go, oh, all right, well, fuck it, I'll just go with what you guys are saying. And you see that basically within the show. You know, you've got people who start off with such strong opinions who are basically browbeaten to follow the crowd.
It is. I think it's premised on the idea that you have 12 equal people in a sort of flat playing field.
Yeah.
And they kind of cancel each other out. But of course, you know, anyone who's ever had a kind of lively debate, let's say, around, you know, a pub table or dinner table or whatever, knows that we, you know, as humans, we're animals. We like to win. and actually the substance of the argument starts to go out the window a little bit, because it's all about who you agree with and trying to persuade the table and all.
And
that
again,
you
see that in the show as well, because I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he's solid guy, you know, real sort of blue collar, bald headed dude. He's fist pumping when he gets the decision he wants. It's like, it's got nothing to do with, you know, the right result. It's just like, he got a win.
Yeah, I mean, we heard stories. We did 2.5 years of research before we even went into production. And, you know, lawyers told us stories off the record, but they told us stories of people who confessed after a trial, said to the fellow jurors, well, you know, I just wanted to do 12 Angry Men. and you know, they had the fantasy about kind of winning the table around. And I'm not saying that Ricky did that necessarily at all. I think he honestly believed what he believed. But the reality is that we form into cliques. We're quite sort of almost tribal in the way we decide things. And it is about the power of personality and stuff. And, you know, some of the most difficult scenes to watch, actually, you know, in episode 4, it's cut quite short, actually. We had to cram so much in.
There's
an argument between Victoria and Rosie, and you can tell that you sort of sympathise with what Rosie is saying, but she just doesn't quite have the words to sort of win that argument, and ends up, you know, ultimately being talked around. So it's, you have to ask yourself, if I were on trial, you know, what would I want?
Definitely not a jury. I'll answer that. You know, I've said, you know, I just can't see myself ever wanting a jury in that situation, and this show just hammered it home to me. The other thing I was thinking was, because watching this, when I very first started it, I was like, this is going to be an interesting experiment. But you know what? The people involved, they know it's a show. They know it's not real. So they'll just be playing a game, so to speak. And then you're watching, and these jurors are in tears, because, I mean, that actor you got to play the main character in it was fantastic. I mean, he just played it so brilliantly. It was obviously a great experiment and really well done, because these people were just immersed in the thing. Like, they literally were on a jury.
Yeah, it felt like a real high wire act, actually. One of the big questions we had was, how are we going to make the performance convincing?
Yeah.
Because we had to reenact an entire trial. So a typical drama, even a kind of high volume soap, will shoot, you know, 12 pages of script today. Our people had to shoot over 100.
Wow.
Because we were, you know, the transcript was like 700 odd pages.
Yeah, that's huge.
It was crazy.
So did you do the full trial, like the whole thing?
We did the whole thing, word for word, start to finish.
Holy dooly.
And clearly you can't remember, the actors couldn't remember that. So we had a system of prompters and earpieces. But then our biggest fear then, so we knew that we'd physically be able to do the lines. And actually the barristers, you know, they had their scripts in their folders to help prompt and things.
Yeah.
But our fear was that the performance would just be really poor. And what was really interesting about it from a sort of program making point of view, drama program making point of view, was that we pre-wrote down the drama scripts. So what the TV audience was going to see out of the full transcript. So we knew that. And so the actors had learnt all those lines. But interestingly, generally speaking, 9 times out of 10, the strongest performances were with what we call the theatre run through, which was the literal start to finish performance. That had the intensity to it because there was so much volume of material that the actors kind of forgot to act. They just lived the words and the part, and they made themselves sort of emotionally responsive to what they were saying, and it felt incredibly natural. Whereas actually, the more traditional acting stuff sometimes, you know, was kind of a bit more hit and miss.
I don't believe the image that's being painted of Helen. Crazy, mad, unstable. It sounds like they're blaming her for the way she was. That doesn't sit well with me. I just don't like that. I'm actually so off the way that they're portraying her. It's actually really bothering me. You can tell that this woman needed help. And, like, you are happy to just make out that she was this violent, horrible, da-da-da, but no, it's getting on my...
Did you face much backlash over this? Because what I've experienced as well with, you know, dealing with the system is... Because it's so set in stone, and this is the way we've always done it, the system doesn't like to be told that it's wrong or that it might not be the best system that we've got. It's like, you know, so people are so staunch about, you know, this is the way it should be done.
We've had a bit of, we've had some disapproving comments from some of the legal profession.
Oh, of course.
So a lot of the legal profession think it's a really, you know, interesting idea because they also want to see inside a jury room. They want to understand how it works. But there's been, some slightly, I mean, I find it a bit depressing in a way, because I think what's worth really making clear, actually, is this show was not setting out with an agenda as an anti-jury show. Yep. If it had an agenda, the agenda was anti-secrecy. We understand that juries have to deliberate in secret. I get that, obviously. But the fact that jurors can't ever talk to a judge or a lawyer
about how they got to their decision. Yeah.
About how they got to is just insane to me. And actually, research does need to be carried out so that you don't have to do such a ridiculous experiment that we did to find out anything. So we were really anti that particular law that makes it illegal. And I thought that before the experiments, you know, we spoke to dozens of lawyers and they're all like, oh, yeah, good idea, good idea. Once it actually happened, there's quite a sizable number of fairly influential ones just started to dismiss it, go, well, they were walking around the court. We don't walk around the court in Britain. Therefore, it's all flawed.
Yeah.
And it's like, seriously?
Yeah.
It makes no difference. Two jurors saw the same thing. The elephant in the room here is that it's kind of a lottery. Now, maybe it's the best system. I'm not sure, but we will never know unless you do some research.
And that's absolutely. And that's the thing. And as you talk, I recently actually had a sit-down chat with a former New South Wales police detective, and we spoke about that whole secrecy around how juries come to their decision. Because in the US, there is certain states where, you know, you can talk to juries and you can speak to how they came to their decision. And then you talk to them and then you realize that, you know, I've had one situation where a jury was like, oh, you know, they found this guy guilty, and the attorneys were like, so why did you come to that decision? They're like, well, you know, the prosecution didn't come up with a great argument as to, you know, the fact that he did do it. But then again, you didn't tell us who did it instead, or you didn't give us some alternative. It's like, well, hold on a second, we don't have to do that. You know, this is called reasonable doubt, people. You know, so it's that where you go, well, hold on a second, obviously the jury didn't understand the concept of reasonable doubt. Something went wrong there, and we need to fix that. So if we don't have this, you know, openness about how juries are coming to their decisions, then we can't fix the situation. So it's not a perfect system, but we could try and, you know, tighten it up and make it better if we gave people a bit more option to know what's going on.
Completely. And, you know, what one idea in the UK, it's probably the same in Australia, is how coroner's inquests work. So it's not even like we have to adopt a radically different, dare I say it, foreign system as it would be seen in the UK, right?
Yeah.
You know, we could take our own coroner's courts, and actually what happens there is juries still sit alone, but instead of answering one binary question, guilty, not guilty, they answer a number of questions. So take the Hillsborough disaster, which was a football disaster where loads of fans got crushed. They answered 22 questions about that case, and it's what's called a narrative verdict. So they went through, you know, were too many fans let in? Who was responsible for that? Should the police have acted earlier? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they went through the entire thing so that what you get there is reasons. You get, ultimately, it ends in, was it unlawful or not? So it ultimately ends in guilty, not guilty. But you have a reasoned verdict. And, you know, the European Court of Human Rights says that the British justice system is not fair because it's not based on a reasoned verdict.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a certain persuasiveness to that. And actually, if they took a more coroner's court approach, what you know is if they had, like, you know, 10 questions to answer, A, you'd know they've considered all the key points of evidence. B, they've had to engage with the relevant legal direction or laws, and then followed the route to verdict. Then if you're satisfied that they've followed the route to verdict, then I do feel like it'd be a little bit more tightened up. You know, you wouldn't get sort of wild verdicts. You might not agree with all of them still, but I feel like it could make them somewhat more consistent.
Yeah, you know, obviously this shows, you said, it was never meant to be about attacking juries or about, you know, making any sort of change to that process. But now that you've done this show and now that you've produced it and it's out there in the world, do you have a hope that it may, obviously it's sparking conversation, but my worry is that, you know, with these things and people's attention span is sort of we watch these things and then we sort of soon forget about them and we move on. And I want to see change with this. I want to see something happen. Well, you know, can you see that your show having that sort of impact?
I think just this show alone, if I'm really honest, it'll probably be a conversation that will then sort of be eventually forgotten.
Yeah.
But if we keep on making it, and
I hope
you know, we plan to. You know, I mean, one of the articles that the lawyers said, which just blew my mind, was one of the comments was, look, you know, maybe the juries aren't perfect, but, you know, it's not a particularly edifying sight, so we shouldn't really be shining a light on it. And I just thought, did you come to this profession in order to pursue justice? But I think we'll start to sort of win against that if we keep on making these shows, and the public will sort of go, Jesus Christ.
You know, I think what your show can do and will do is what my show, I hope, will also do, is that people listen to my show, people watch your show. These are people that will likely at one stage be called up for jury duty and will be in that seat in a trial. And hopefully having watched your show, having listened to my show, having heard all of this information and seen it all, maybe they will be a bit stronger maybe in their decision. Maybe they won't be sort of, for want of a better term, bullied into making a decision because that's the way everyone else is going. Hopefully they will sit there and go, you know what? I remember that. Now I'm going to stand firm on my decision because this is what I believe and the rest of it. So I think it's a fantastic show. It's, you know, it absolutely, I loved every minute of it from start to finish. And I know we can't announce too much, but it's very exciting to be able to say we may see it here very soon.
I mean, I really can't go into any specifics, but I can say there is an Australian version. I think I could even say it's in production. Anyway, okay. It's coming.
Okay.
Fantastic. I'm so delighted for that. And it's, you know, it's wonderful to think that little spark of an idea back in 2020 is hopefully going to spawn all this, you know, all this interest and all these programs. So that's really exciting.
It's definitely a format. I mean, you know, obviously you said it is Australian. I'm sure it will go a lot further because the jury system is, you know, as we know, it is a sort of global thing in a hell of a lot of countries. And I think everyone has the same fascination and questions around the system. So again, congratulations on a fantastic show, an absolutely phenomenal concept. And I cannot wait to see the Australian version of that over here. It'd be very fascinating to see how the Australians handle that one.
I know. And I mean, I don't know as much about, you know, there's probably little differences, but I think it's a lot of the same issues. And, you know, having seen some of the cases, there's some, it's going to be good.
Mate, thank you so much indeed for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, I want to say a huge thank you to Ed for giving up his time and coming on and talking to me about the show. I'll keep you up to date on when we will be able to see the Australian version of this show. And of course, for our UK audience, you can watch The Jury Murder Trial right now. It's available to stream on Channel 4's website. 1 Minute Remaining is a Mashed Pumpkin production, created, hosted, and produced by Jack Lawrence. Audio and sound design by Jack Lawrence and Dom Evans of Earsay.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.